The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. The anonymous landlord is about making profit in many different ways. It's not a product, it's not a training course, it's not something you can just have. It's a way of life, a quality of life. It's a business mindset, a system of automation that shapes the way you invest in property and the way you think about property. An anonymous landlord makes loads of money and continues to grow and grow and grow wealth without giving up any time or energy or effort. Because what's the point in making loads of money from property if you can't enjoy it? I'm Tom Soan and this is The Anonymous Landlord.
Hi, this is Tom Soane and welcome to another episode of The Anonymous Landlord. And today the question is, do you put your money into a pension or do you put your money into property? Well, that's a really common question and I hear that all the time. And do you know what? I see people that have paid money into pensions for years and years and years and years get fed up and so angry because their pension's not worth what they expected it to be worth. And I also see people invest loads of money into property and at the end of it have something of massive value that's produced huge cash flow throughout the time they've owned the asset. So obviously, I think it's very clear that my bias would be towards property. So I thought I'd do this little episode and try my best to argue both sides. Look, you know in advance, my answer is going to be invest in property. Of course it is. But I want to try and explain why. Why do I think that pensions are no good? Why do I think property is good? Now, it's probably worth pointing out that I am definitely not a financial advisor. I am definitely not a pension expert or specialist. I'm just giving you this based on the minimal knowledge I have of pensions and the more experienced knowledge and expertise I have in property. So again, there's a bit more bias for you. But look, let's look at pensions first of all. And the reason this all came about is because my mum just recently found out that she's been paying into a pension for around 35 years, something like that, and it's worth about 40 grand. She's been paying into it for 35 years, and it's worth about 40 grand. She's absolutely devastated because she's been paying a lot of money into that pension each month. And I don't know the actual numbers here, but she's absolutely devastated. And I bet there are so many people that are in a similar position or worse, that have been paying a good amount of money each month into a pension and then it's worth fuck all. And sorry to throw a little F-bomb in there, but I thought it was worthwhile because I'm annoyed for my mum. I feel bad for her now because she's, you know, we're kind of educated, aren't we, into believing that we go to work, we earn some money, we pay our tax, we pay into a pension. And that's what you've got to do. That's like the default rule, isn't it? That we're all instructed or subconsciously driven towards. That we must earn some money through working for a company and pay into a pension. Now, I know there are loads of different types of pensions. I also know that there are pensions that have been successful for people. I'm not questioning the validity of pensions. I'm just comparing it to property. But when you have a situation like my mum's situation there, where she just thinks that she's investing in security for her retirement, and then all of a sudden she gets something through to say, hey, really sorry, all that money you've been paying into, we haven't really done very well with it. Sorry about that. But don't worry, we've still taken our fee. Oh, that's all right then. As long as you've got your money, then don't worry about it. So from my perspective, my mum has been paying all that money every month into that thing. And I could have said to her, I'd love to have been able to gone back to when she started work and say something like, hey, don't invest in a pension. invest in property, and then 35 years down the line, you'd probably have a couple of million pounds worth of property. And you'd have cash flow throughout that entire time. That's what I'd love to say. But obviously, I didn't know my mum when she started working. Otherwise, it'd be a very strange relationship there. But look, so let's talk about pensions. Now, I know there are a few different types of pensions. Some work well, some haven't worked so well. Some that you can just pay, I know, X amount of money into every single month, and it then contributes towards hopefully growing it, and your pension fund manager, if that's what you call them, should be investing that in a way that's going to grow your assets, and he or she will invest that into different investments and try and diversify that to try and grow the value of the money that you're putting into that pension. You also get those pensions where people invest an amount each month from their paycheck, and then the company match the amount that they pay, or they give a certain amount towards the pension as well. Now look, you could look at that as free money. Well, in my mum's case, no. In my mum's case, she's lost money. So look, I'm not saying that they're good or bad. I'm just saying that in this case, it's not been good. So there's loads of different types of pensions, right? But the general basis of it is that you spend money each month, you put it into that pension, and then a manager of some description tries to invest that money for you in order to grow it so that when you retire, you've got more money than you invested. That's effectively what it is. Now, I know of pension pots. Generally speaking, I've asked a few people, and you'd be happy if you get 1 or 2% per year growth on your money. Now, if you go to a property investor and say, hey, guess what, Mr. and Mrs. Property Investor? I have got a property for you, and it's going to return you 1 to 2% per year. Now, that property investor is going to laugh at you and just walk out of that room or wherever you are talking. You just wouldn't do it, would you? You wouldn't go anywhere near a property that's only going to generate 1 or 2%. Just wouldn't be heard of. So, right, pensions then. As far as I can see it, there's not much more complexity than that. You spend some money, you put money into a pension fund every month, and a manager tries to grow your pension value, tries to get you a return on investment. But they get paid regardless. That person who's managing that fund gets paid whether you make money, lose money, or break even. Now, that's the bit I find very difficult to stomach. What incentive is there for that person to really try and invest and manage and desperately try and make you money? Well, the answer is, other than their business, you know, reputation, whatever, then the answer has to be very minimal. They still get paid whether you make money, lose money, or break even. I find that really hard to that doesn't sit right with me. What about you guys? What do you think about all that? Now, look, I'm not saying that all pensions everywhere are bad, because actually, there are pensions that have worked for people. I've no doubt in my mind. I've not heard of it. And in fact, every single person, there's not very many people, but every single person I've ever spoken to about their pension has said, well, it's not really done very well for me. My nan, same thing, paid into a pension, a teacher's pension. My nan was a teacher. She's paid into a teacher's pension for years. At the end of it, oh, okay. Not really that good. So, all right, now on to property. The other thing to remember, by the way, is that you're constantly paying into a pension every single month and not getting anything back until you decide to use that pension. So again, not really that good, especially not for 1 or 2% a year. I wouldn't even be happy with that if it was anything up to about 4 or 5% a year. I still wouldn't be happy with that. Anyway, right, so on to property, right? So, look, I did tell you I was going to be a bit biased. If you were going to say to me, Tom, where is the best place that you would put your own money? I would just put it all into property all the time. Now, I do also buy shares. I love buying shares. I find it quite exciting. But pretty much in the same way as property, because it's a little bit like, you know, share trading is a little bit like gambling, isn't it, to a point? It's like educated gambling, where you're trying to research companies and economics and economies and global affairs and things like that, and then you're trying to guess whether you think a share price is going to go up or down. So I basically, every single spare penny I get, I stick it into shares, and then if I want to release those shares to invest in property, that's what I'll do. Unless those shares are rocketing, then of course I'll leave it in there. That's what I'm doing at the moment, and I'm really enjoying it. And to be honest, that's a quick hint on a little side note. Only do things you enjoy doing. There's no point doing things you don't enjoy doing, right? Anyway, on to property. Now, if you go and buy a normal buy-to-let property, you just go onto Rightmove and you pick up a place that's is going to cost you, I don't know, £180,000, and you're going to rent it out for, I don't know, £800. That was a terrible example, actually. Let's say you're going to go and buy a property for £100,000. And you're just going to rent it out nice and easy for £500 a month. And you're going to buy it cash. You're not going to have any other outgoings from it. You're just going to have that as pure profit. Well, there you go. Nice, easy. What's that? It's about 6 or 7%, I guess. Nice. There you go. Take that, wouldn't you, all day long. But it's actually 6%, isn't it? Yeah. So you're happy with that. You're getting 6% on your money month in, month out. But not only are you getting 6% return every single year because of the rent income, but you're also getting growth on the value of that property as well. And probably you're looking at between, I don't know, anything between 2 and 5%, really. You know, unless you're in a really poor growth area, that's different. But, you know, generally speaking, across the country over time, now I'm not just saying year on year, I'm talking about over 20 years, because if you're paying into a pension pot for 20 years, then you're going to keep a property for 20 years. Then over time, you'd expect that to go up by about 2 to 5% per year. So not only are you getting a very nice, comfortable 6% of net income, of income per year constantly, you're also getting a few percent per year on growth in the value. Brilliant. Now, you can't do that with a pension. I'm sorry, but I've never heard of it anyway. If people are getting better than that in a pension, then I'd love to hear about it. So then we talk about risk. Now, risk is something that maybe a pension has less of. Well, am I right about that? I don't think I'm right about that, actually, now I think about it. Because, look, what are the risks, right? So a property risk is that you put a tenant in that property, they don't pay the rent. You have to do repairs and maintenance. You have to take legal action against a tenant. All right, generally speaking, what we're doing is talking about bad tenants. That's generally it, isn't it? Because if you think about it from a pension's perspective, you'll pay money into that pension every single month, and you're also going to be paying a manager to look after that investment, because a pension is an investment. Or not. But it is technically an investment. So yes, you're paying a fund manager a certain amount of the money that you're investing. And in property, you're paying a certain amount of money to cover yourself over that time for bad tenants, repairs and maintenance. Now, for me, I always allocate 20% of the rent towards management and maintenance and compliance, things like your gas safety certificate, EICR, EPC and stuff like that. Just general repairs and obviously the management of the property. So if you're managing a property yourself, you still allocate the 20% because you've got to pay yourself. You know, if you're spending your time, then you are worth an amount of money every hour, right? So you have to allocate a certain amount. So yeah, there is that management and maintenance, whether you're doing a pension or a property. So you still have costs involved and still have risk. Now, the risk on a pension is that you invest all that money and the manager that's managing your investment is not doing a very good job. You end up losing money. And the risk with a property is that you don't have a tenant in there paying rent. Maybe it's a bad tenant that decides not to pay rent, or one tenant moves out and it takes a month or two to re-tenant or re-let. or maybe something goes wrong with a property, you've got to get it fixed. Now, then you weigh up what your return on investment is against your risk. Now, with property, if you have those risks, but you're having 3 or 4 times more income and profit from that investment, then the risk is worthwhile, okay? Do you get that? I hope you do. But with a pension where your risk is minimal, apart from if you lose money, then the risk is annoying. And in fact, like I say, I would say the risk is high with pensions because I've never spoken to anybody who has ended up really happy with their pension, except for my granddad. Now, I don't know what my granddad paid into a pension or anything like that, but when he retired, he had a pretty good pension, pretty good money coming in. But I only know that he had good money coming in from his pension when he retired. I don't know how much he paid into it. He could have been paying £1,000 a month into that pension and they're not really getting as much as he should back. So there is risk with a pension. But then with property, I like the idea that you are in charge of it to a point. You know, you can decide, you've got, I don't know, 100 grand's worth of property there that you've bought, and maybe you decide to sell it in 10 years' time and it's now worth 150 grand. Okay, you've got that cash available to you at any point. And you can just release that cash, you can reinvest it if you want, but you've still got cash flow constantly coming in. No matter what you decide to do, all the way up until that time that you release that money, you've got cash flow coming in, which you can reinvest. And then the more properties you own, the more you can reinvest. And it's like a snowball, isn't it? You start off with one property, you save up the cash from that property, you save up the appreciation from that property. And maybe you do whatever you can to save up a bit more money too. And then you reinvest, refinance and reinvest. And then you've got 2 pots of cash coming in and 2 properties that are going to grow in value. And then in a couple of years' time, you do the same again. And now you've got, you can maybe buy a couple more properties. So now you've got 4 properties that you can accumulate more cash flow and more appreciation from. So what I'm trying to get at here is that if you, yeah, okay, with a pension, you don't have to do any work. You're paying someone else to do that work for you. And with property, depending on how much you want to get involved, you have to do a little bit of work. But if you enjoy property, then that's different. That's a different matter, isn't it? Because you can never work a day in your life if you enjoy what you're doing. So look, in my eyes, I'm not comfortable with somebody managing my investments who get paid whether the investment returns profit or loss. I'm just not happy with that. Number 2, there is no physical thing that I actually own, because if I invest into a pension, a pension manager will likely invest in various funds. Now, funds are things that invest in other shares. So like, you might have a fund that invests in property, you might have a fund that invests in the FTSE, you might have, you know, all of those different things. So really, you're not really owning much of anything. And if all of those share prices go down, then they do go down pretty heavy. Now, yes, if they go up, they go up heavy too. But with property, you're always pretty safe and secure over time, I think, anyway. So that's my rant stroke argument stroke debate with myself over pensions or properties. Now, look, I must just put a little extra bit in here, because yes, there are different types of pension, and there are also pensions that are involved in property, and there are different types of property investment that you can seriously fail with. But again, it comes back to it, doesn't it? If you're going to pay someone to manage your investment in your pension and they don't make you any profit, then what's the difference? What is the difference? And if you're going to pay someone to invest your money in property and they fail, then what's the difference? But the difference is, I think, personally, this is my own opinion, I think you've got more chance of success in property investment. And certainly if you have the right people around you. Like, for an example, I work with a couple of people where I help them invest their money in property. I find the properties, I advise them on properties they find. We do the deals together. We negotiate, we get the right deals, we get the right refurbishment team in there. We do everything together. And as everybody knows, I do have a few of those mentor clients. I don't have many. I don't like to have a big group of people like that or anything. But, you know, I'm governed by their success. I only get paid on their success. So that's how I feel like a pension manager should be. Yeah, I'll pay you. I'll pay you. How about I pay you more if you make me profit? Easy as that. But I'd be really interested to find out what other people think about this, because it is that hidden belief that we should invest in property. And hopefully this helps you open up your own mind to what is possible and what you could and could not do. But in the meantime, I'll leave that with you. And please join me in your cars and say, my name's Tom Soane and this is the Anonymous Landlord. Maybe I should change that to, my name's Tom Soane and I am the Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast. And remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.